Hello, everybody. This is Parkside Today. I'm John Melkin. It's a pleasure to welcome UW-Parkside Dean of the College of Arts and Humanities, Dr. Leslie Hines Walker, and Associate Professor of Music, Russ Johnson. Leslie and Russ, thanks for joining us on Parkside Today.
It's our pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
So I can't believe how fast time goes by. In just a few days, we're going to be starting another Jazz Week here at UW-Parkside, March 16th to the 21st. The lineup is always amazing, and this year is certainly no exception, starting with Jamie Branch and Fly or Die, Monday evening, March 16th at 7 p.m. First question, how do you do it, putting all this incredible talent together and most of the concerts at no cost, little or no cost? How do you do it?
Well, we've been fortunate to have funding sources come through.
That's good.
I'm not going to lie. That's you know, we can't do it without those
those
sources, and that's come from Kenosha Community Foundation, Southeast Wisconsin Hearing Center, the Dean's Office, Uline Corporation, and that allows us to make the vast majority of the concerts free.
Great.
Everybody's paid, though, so
we
invite people in, these are all paying, hardworking musicians.
And you know, it's I'm able to call in some favors with some friends, and if people are on the road and they're touring at that time, I'm able to get them in with, you know, with the budget that we have, and and so, yeah, it works out very well.
I mean, if you look at the quality of the lineup that you have coming in, and we'll talk about that a little bit, but the fact that Monday night is free, Tuesday night is free, Wednesday night is free, and so here's an opportunity for people in the region to see extremely high-quality jazz musicians doing their craft and doing it at a cost that everyone can afford because it's free. So that's pretty amazing. How do you, when you look at Jazz Week, Russ and Leslie, either one of you kind of chime in here, how does that shaping of what Jazz Week looks like come about? You know, do you look and say, oh, we're going to focus on, you know, this style, or is it like you said, where maybe it's the availability of some of the jazz musicians?
Well, Dean Walker and I converse about that quite regularly. I mean, there are, you know, it's a pretty thorough thought process that goes into who we book. You know, we're trying to make it diverse. We're trying to bring in different, you know, genres or styles, however you'd like to look at it. It's and those are, it's very important to me. I'm, you know, as a composer and as a musician myself, I'm into very modern contemporary music, but I try and not just program that, even though that's the stuff that I'm the most into. Try and take the, you know, what I think will go over well in the community as well. But it's you know, it's a dual effort between the Dean's office and Dean Walker and myself, and we do, you know, we do try and bring in a wide variety of artists.
Yeah, I mean, if you take, for example, Jamie Branch, it was, I think, 2 years ago that I heard her at the Chicago Jazz Festival, and I was just really impressed. I came back and I tell Russ about this, you know, hot young trumpet player, and he's like, yeah, of course I know her.
And your point is.
Yes. But that was exciting for me to, you know, just hear her. And I try to go to the Jazz Fest in Chicago over Labor Day weekend, and that's a great opportunity to see some of the talent out there.
Also free.
So let's kind of, we can go through some of the performers who will be here next week, March 16th through the 21st here at UW-Parkside. And tell us a little bit about Jamie Branch. How would you describe her?
Unique. If I had to choose one word. She's an incredible musician. She's an incredible thinker. She's a conceptualist. And she's, I've known her for 10, 12 years, and in the past 4 or 5 years, she's kind of blown up. Like, what, her career has really blown up in the best possible way. She's found, she has a unique voice on the instrument. She creates music that is her music. It doesn't sound like anybody else's music. As I said, she's a really great conceptualist. On her latest record, she does a little bit of singing. It might not be singing in a traditional sense. I respect her tremendously as a trumpet player. I'm a trumpet player I have several trumpet players this year. More than usual.
Right. Yeah, yeah, I noticed. I noticed
more than usual.
Yeah. Player, you know. But wait, there's a cornetist.
Yeah, yes. It's more, right. more than typically. Oftentimes, I don't book that many trumpet players.
Right.
But
yeah.
But I think she's an incredible musician and a very deep thinker. And one of the best parts of the week for me is are the Q&A afterwards, the question and answer with not only community members but our students.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamie has experienced a lot in her life, and I cannot wait for our students and the community to get a chance to converse with her, because she's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant musician.
Yeah, and that aspect is really important to me, that our students get a chance to hear and see what it's like to be, you know, to aspire to be a professional mm-hmm. musician and to make one's living doing this kind of work. So I think the educational opportunities that our students get throughout this week is just really unparalleled.
And how does that figure into the planning of the event in terms of how much interaction the performers have with students besides the actual performance in the evening?
It's an open Q&A. But I mean, with many of the artists, our students have asked them for private lessons so they can try and schedule a lesson before or after if the artist is available. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're not. Most of these people are on tour, so it's a different city every night.
Yeah.
It's vital. As Dean Walker was saying, it's vital to our students to see people out there doing what our students are aspiring to do, and it's incredibly valuable. I learn a ton. I'm a fly on the wall, and I try not to contribute, but I learn a ton about just how different artists think.
And this is my fifth jazz week that I'm really excited about. And some artists speak a lot more than others, right?
Sure.
Some of them are just better at it. Some of them, they let the music speak for itself, and they may or may not wax on about what they're doing. Some of them, and so it is a... I think it also just lets students see just a tremendous variety of ways of kind of inhabiting this career.
Yeah, and students see people, not everybody's outgoing, not everybody's speaking in a, is comfortable speaking in public setting.
Sure.
So, I think our students can, with the diversity of artists that we're able to bring in, students can identify, I'm more like that.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be, frothing at the mouth with every artistic idea you have.
Right.
There are people that have been quite quiet, but usually, often, the people that are not, that don't speak as much, the things they have to say are incredibly powerful.
Mm-hmm.
They choose their words very carefully.
Is this something that you would say, Russ, this kind of combination between performing and being a part of the educational process, do the artists get a lot of opportunities to do this or not so much opportunity to do this?
It really depends, and without getting too deeply into the economics of being a jazz musician, it's quite common. I tour all over the world, and I do a lot of performances at colleges, and and oftentimes it's part of what you're there for.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing clubs and stuff like that, there's very little.
Mm-hmm.
But the academic part of it and the conversations with students is quite common.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite common, actually.
Okay. On Tuesday night, March 17, 7 p.m., and if I didn't mention it before, first concert on March 16th at 7 p.m. in the Bedford Concert Hall. Ben Lamar Gay, and I hope I'm pronouncing
That's
his
correct.
Middle,
yeah.
The middle name there correctly. Tell us about Ben.
Again, I think Jamie and Ben, the first two nights, the artists for the first two nights, inhabit somewhat of a similar space musically. But it's the thing I'll say about Ben. Last year we had for the headlining act, we had Greg Ward and Ten Tongues with the dance company, and I played on that concert along with Ben and Greg Ward's band,
mm-hmm.
and I'll just put it this way. Everything Ben does is musical.
Hmm.
Walking is musical. Talking is musical. It's like it music pours out of Ben in a way that is extremely rare. Like I said, it's just like everything, and he's a cornet player, but he also, he does vocal things. He does, he plays a small keyboard. He has, you know, his music can run anywhere of the gamut from New Orleans to completely, like, kind of noise, textural, really dark improvisational music. And he's just, again, the uniqueness and like I said, everything he does is musical. It's it's kind of astonishing to me. I'm somebody that kind of had to work at it. You know, I really spent a lot of hours, not that they haven't, but just different ways of, you know, getting to the same point. And it just seems like everything he does is music. Mm-hmm. Every conversation, just the way he's, you know, the lilt in his voice, it just seems like everything he does is musical. He's really one of my favorite musicians. I'm very fortunate that I get to talk about these people.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about, he plays the cornet,
mm-hmm.
trumpet player. They're similar instruments, mm-hmm. not same. So what's the difference between, is there a difference?
There's very little difference between the two instruments. It's mostly an aesthetic choice of the cornets. It's the same amount of tubing, but the cornet is something called a conical bore, which means it's basically one taper that runs through the whole thing. It's usually a more compact instrument. It's built more compact,
right.
But they're played the exact same way, but it's mostly a choice of what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've spoken at length to Ben about playing cornet, and I bought one of his trumpets, and he was getting rid of what he was like. I'm just going to be a cornet player. Wow. It's basically like a thing that you hear is your sound. I mean, as artists, we're all looking to find our sound,
mm-hmm.
right? And Ben most definitely has found his sound on the cornet.
On Wednesday night, March 18th, 7 p.m. again, Bedford Concert Hall. Again, the concert is free. Marquise Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about Marquise.
Marquise is, and it's, I'll say this, I think I have a beautiful sound on the trumpet. Marquise has the most beautiful trumpet sound I've ever heard in my life, and it's painful for me to say that. I play with Marquise in a couple of different, he's been living in New York for the past 5 years, 6 years. We kind of, it's funny, when I moved from New York back to the Midwest, now 9 years ago, 8.5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
And Marquise was here and was getting ready to make his move to New York. So, like, I kind of stepped into some of his work, which was really good work, so I was very happy about that in the Chicago community. And he actually kind of took in some of the stuff that I was doing in New York. It was kind of like this kind of strange, unintentional trade-off of stuff. But as I said, he has an incredible sound on the instrument. His music, if you get a chance to listen to his records, Modern Flows, they're fantastic. There's very much like kind of an R&B influence on that music, the spoken word.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a ridiculously great straight-ahead jazz trumpet player. He won the Thelonious Monk competition, which is like the competition to win as a jazz musician under the age of 30.
Yeah.
And he's, I mean, I have so many, you know, it's hard to say pick favorites, but he is an astonishingly brilliant trumpet player, and like I said, his music is, I think it's extremely modern, and it incorporates so many different styles. And like I said, he has spoken word artists on his, you know, rappers, spoken word artists. There's kind of, you know, some of his music has more of a contemporary R&B-ish kind of vibe, but he's also an incredible, like, straight-ahead jazz trumpet player.
How do you think the different artists, you talked about kind of finding that voice or their sound, how do they go about doing that?
That's the question.
Show's over.
That's the question. First thing I'll say is it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that happens overnight. Most people don't really start to find it late 20s, early 30s.
Uh-huh.
I'll say this. It's so, you have to work so hard to develop your craft, to play the music, that it's hard to find a voice because you're just trying to execute, you know, on the instrument and to learn all of this history of this music and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So,
is almost coming. It's past that point of you're starting to master the craft and now you can start.
I think there are exceptions to that, but if I were to give you a general answer, I would say that would be correct.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time it's through exploration. You know, you have to be curious about music and different types of music.
Yeah.
For me personally, I didn't start to find my voice till 28, 29, 30. I think that's fairly common, but I got exposed to a certain type of music that I hadn't heard before, and I was like, oh, okay. That's what I've been looking for my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, it's like finding your wife. That's what I've been looking for my whole life.
Yeah.
So let me ask a question, Russ.
Sure.
In literary studies, there's something called the anxiety of influence.
Mm.
So I'm wondering, for a jazz musician, you start off with people you admire.
Of course.
But are there is there a level of kind of a feeling of competition and maybe wanting to surpass? I mean, is there, you know, that kind of, you know, competitive playing, as it were?
The history of the music is littered with this.
Mm-hmm.
jam sessions and cutting contests and stuff like that. It's part of the history of the music. But I would counter that by saying the greatest artists usually don't have that as part of their modus operandi after they get to a certain point.
Right.
After a certain point, it becomes less about that, because it is definitely part of, like I said, it's part of the culture of the music.
Mm-hmm.
But after a certain point, it's more digging deeply into, like, okay, what do I have to say, rather than like, oh, I can play all of this person's famous quotes and all these material licks and stuff that you learn from other players. That's a great question, but that's, like, as I said, that's very much a part of it, and that's how you learn, really. That's how you learn. We learn by copying.
Right.
The vast majority of us, not everybody. But, yeah, that's part of the tradition, but I think with great artists, you get past that after a while.
Cool.
Yeah. We talked a little bit before we sat down and started the conversation about how long Jazz Week has been going on at UW Parkside, and I think we settled on
this might be the eighth year.
Yeah.
I believe it's the eighth year, actually.
How has, when you look back at past Jazz Weeks, how do you think it's evolved, changed, grown?
Well, I mean, thankfully it feels like, and I will credit Dean Walker with a lot of this, she's been very on top of getting the word out into the community,
mm-hmm.
and that's helped attendance.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to look at it for purely from that aspect, it has definitely grown,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah.
As far as, like, the booking process and stuff like that, this is going to sound super conceited, but I know a lot of really great musicians. I'm friends with a lot of really great musicians, and I wouldn't stack up one year against any other year. I think I'm able to call in favors every year and get incredible people here.
Yeah.
Budget is obviously always a part of you know, how we make things happen, but
sure.
we've had people step up and help with that to make the headlining act, and that headline, the Thursday night, is the only act where there's a fee that's charged, and it's unbelievably reasonable. It's $10 and $5 for students.
Oh my god,
it's I can't even, yes, for the,
yeah.
the type of artist, and honestly, you should charge three times that for every night of the week.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But it's evolving in a way that I think I think I'm getting better at doing the organization every year, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, like on the Friday, we bring in local schools.
Yeah.
So this year it's Racine Schools plus the three Racine High Schools plus Oak Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of alternate every other year with Kenosha Schools. And
yeah.
I try and keep it kind of on that schedule.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think there's been, the evolution has been in the audience attendance, the support that I'm, you know, receiving has been better, and that allows me to book some things that I might not in the past. But,
yeah.
But in general, I mean, you know, if I were to look back at all the Jazz Week lineups, I think they're all incredibly strong.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good. We're talking with UW Parkside Dean of the College of Arts and Humanities, Dr. Leslie Hines Walker, and Associate Professor of Music, Russ Johnson. We're talking about Jazz Week. Jazz Week starts March 16th here at UW Parkside, and on March 19th at 7 p.m., Bedford Concert Hall, with the outlandish admission price of $10, we have the Bad Plus. Tell us about the Bad Plus.
So they are probably the most popular jazz group of under 55-somethings now. In the past 15 years, they made a change in the piano chair a year and a half ago to a guy named Oren Evans, who's a friend of mine, and they came about in the early 2000s. They were one of the first jazz groups to really start incorporating pop tunes into their repertoire. They also did records of like Stravinsky and stuff like that. I mean, they have a wide variety of musical influences. But they you know, they covered Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana in 2001 or something like that. And they, you know, incorporated like kind of tunes that you would associate, like disco tunes and stuff like that. Wow. Now, they're done in a traditional jazz piano trio way. It doesn't, to me, the repertoire is almost, I don't want to say it's unimportant, because it does draw a certain, people will say, oh, I recognize that song, even if they may not be able to put their finger on it. But they've taken, because they're all incredible musicians, they've taken all their influences and kind of distilled it into one unique thing. And, I mean, there are many groups, especially piano trios out there, over the last 10, 15 years that have kind of tried to model their the course of their careers based on the Bad Plus. They were the first ones to really kind of you know, really chart that path. And there, it's the drummer is Dave King, who's Minneapolis based. They all lived in New York. And Reed Anderson is on bass, New York bass player. And Orrin Evans actually lives in Philadelphia.
Okay. And then you kind of touched on it a little bit before, but on Friday, March 20th, noon concert series, which is kind of ongoing here at UW Parkside during the academic year, free noon concerts with a variety of different styles and types of music. But on March 20th at noon in the Bedford Concert Hall, free, is the Parkside Jazz Faculty, and tell us about the jazz faculty that will be participating in that.
So it's our saxophone professor, Chris Madsen, piano professor and professor of, he teaches all different kinds of courses, James Sodke, bass professor Tim Ibsen. And this year we're going to have an alumnus, Paul Westfall, playing drums with us, who graduated about 4 or 5 years ago, and myself. And we'll probably play one of each of our original compositions. One of the reasons that concert's important to me is we try and get the high school students in, and I believe we're going to have them all here, knock on wood, by 11:30 on that Friday. So they arrive, the high school students arrive at 11:30 on Friday. We do the noon concert. It gives the potential students that we're trying to attract a chance to hear us.
Sure.
And I'm just going to say this. I think that the UW Parkside Jazz faculty is as strong or stronger than any other than the UW system, and I'll catch some flack for that, but I would, you know, whatever.
It's okay.
But I'll own it.
And it's true.
I'll own it. So it's a chance for the potential students and our current students to hear us play. You know, it's important. Yeah. It's important for our students to hear us do this, right? It's a big part of you know. Honestly, I'll just say this: like, the students respect you when they're like, oh, okay, you can actually do what you're trying to teach. You're telling us about this stuff, but I actually hear it now. I understand that you're not just feeding us some line or some, you know, something out of a textbook. It's here it is in action. Yeah. So it's really important.
Yeah, wow. And then you also mentioned the that evening, then the Parkside Jazz Ensemble connects with the high school jazz ensembles of Case, Horlick, and Park, and Racine, and Oak Creek.
And Oak Creek as well, yes.
Yeah, and what does that night look like, sound like? How does that go?
Each school usually plays two tunes. We'll play three. Each of the high schools will play two tunes. Park this year, their numbers in their program have been not as strong as it's been in the past, so they're bringing a small group in. Usually I'd like it to be large ensembles, but Park doesn't have that instrumentation right now. Now they just hired a Parkside alum. Actually, all three Racine High School's band directors are Parkside alums. We're very proud of that.
Which is
fantastic.
So each
of those groups will come in. I'll work with them during the day. So we have after the noon concert at 1 o'clock, we do a master class. So I'll work with the brass students. We have the saxophones. We'll go with Chris Madsen. We have the rhythm section players all meet in Bedford Hall, and they all work with our faculty. So we'll do like an instrument specific master class for an hour. Then from 2 to roughly 4:30 or 5, I'll spend 40 to 45 minutes with each of the high school groups, working on the material that they're going to be playing that night, trying to help out with them.
And then that
night, each of the high school groups will play two tunes. We play three tunes.
Yeah, great.
And it's super fun.
Yeah,
and
it's
a recruiting tool. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've gotten a lot of students in the music department that was like, I was here at Jazz Week. And I'm like, that's what this is about.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. And it brings out a lot of the families sure. that may or may not, you know, go listen to jazz on the mm-hmm. weekends. And so it's a nice time. It's a full house. Lots of great energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Leslie, what does it mean to you as Dean of the College of Arts and Humanities to have this type of a program and the success over the past, well, talking the better part of a decade now, the success, what does that mean as a dean?
It's as far as I'm concerned, it's one of the signature programs that we do in the college. Mm-hmm. And I feel that we are extraordinarily lucky to have Russ and to have Russ's networks for a variety of reasons. I mean, first and foremost, it's great for our students. I mean, it's just fabulous for them to have this week of these master classes to get to know these musicians. So first and foremost, it's about our students. Then it's about the community. I mean, we are bringing, you know, top quality, affordable entertainment to this community in a way that, you know, nobody else really does.
Right.
So I'm really excited that we're able to do that. And I also think that we do have this fabulous jazz program here at Parkside, and I'd like the world to know more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is a showcase for us.
Yeah. And I mean, the beautiful part of the cost or no cost, mm-hmm. basically, of being able to go is you don't have to pick out and say, well, I think I'll go Tuesday night because I can afford that Tuesday night. Right. It's like, come every night and enjoy the different things.
And let me just add one other thing. There's just the tremendous variety. So I'm somebody that is not a jazz connoisseur, mm-hmm. but I've had the pleasure to get to know the sort of extraordinary spectrum that is jazz. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a great opportunity for the community as well. If you come out, you're going to hear all kinds of different things every night. And mm-hmm. That, again, is just a great opportunity.
And that's, that's one of the important parts of this in booking who we book, you know, who we have here, is getting this variety of people in. And I'll say this, art in any and all of its forms should be challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not all about making mm-hmm. you feel comfortable. Yeah. Sometimes the role of art is to push the button.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it can be entertainment as well. I'm entertained by all of it. Otherwise, I wouldn't ask them to come here.
Right. Right.
But you know, I mean, we'll... I promise anybody in the community who's out there, if they came to more than one night, they would definitely find something that speaks to them.
Yeah.
And it could be, you know, like, and I've had people who are like, I didn't like that night. And I'm like, that's fine.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. That's totally fine. You know what? My students did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's about the students. Bottom line, it's about the students. This is for our students. It's a community event as well, obviously.
Sure.
But it's, you know, I think, you know, if reading literature or visiting an art gallery or, you know, whatever, in any way you look at the arts, you know, you wouldn't expect somebody who's creating art in 2020 to model their work after something that was created in 1880.
Right. Right.
Right. And that's to say that it can be, for some listeners, occasionally challenging.
Sure, of course.
Mm-hmm. And we're proud of that because we want to challenge our listeners as well as, you know, do something that they enjoy.
Right, right. Jazz Week concludes March 21st, the evening of March 21st, 7 p.m. Again, Bedford Concert Hall, again, a free concert. It apparently is free because of the sponsorship of the Southeast Wisconsin Hearing Center.
Correct.
Incorporated. Tell us about Bruce Foreman.
Well, first of all, I'd like to give a plug to Dave Brown of the Southeast Wisconsin Hearing Center for sponsoring the concert.
Sure.
Dave is an alum.
Mm-hmm.
He opened this business about 5 or 6 years ago, and he's been very successful. And he's an incredible jazz guitarist. And
if you don't know, you could go to the Hobnob and hear him.
You can hear him every Friday night for the last 20 years.
For the Hobnob.
He and his family.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and Dave, I've been friends with him for, I grew up in this area, and I've known Dave for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a fantastic musician. And so he's sponsoring Bruce Foreman. And Bruce has been here before as part of Dave's series.
Okay.
He's an incredible Los Angeles-based guitarist. Played with everybody, Henny, and if you want to drop names, he's played with pretty much everybody. And he's the presentation for that Saturday night is something called a red guitar,
mm-hmm.
and he combines storytelling with his music.
Okay,
and it'll be completely different than anything we've done here before. So I'm really excited about that.
Great.
So Dave Brown again, Braun sponsors this concert series, and it's, you know, once or twice a year he brings in groups national, internationally known groups, and this time it happens to be Bruce, and I'm very excited about it.
Wow. Well, the lineup is fantastic. It's Jazz Week here at UW Parkside, beginning Monday, March 16th, and concluding Saturday night, March 21st. If you're interested in learning more about the various artists that are coming and the times and places, you can visit uwp.edu/jazz.
That's right.
That's correct.
We'll get you there. So, again, I've been talking with Dr. Leslie Hines-Walker, Dean of the College of Arts and Humanities here at UW Parkside, and Associate Professor of Music, Russ Johnson, here on Parkside today. Thank you both for taking time. Appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
And
yeah,
good luck with Jazz Week. To hear past editions of Parkside Today, please visit uwp.edu/parkside today. Thanks for listening, everybody.